You know, today is an exciting day. We're going to go big today because we're going to have baptism service. And we got baptism in what we call around here our Jacuzzi for Jesus over here on my right. And when you initially understand amazing grace, it prompts you to do something amazing in your life. So for the last 2,000 years, followers of Jesus have done the very first thing that Jesus asked us, commanded us to do, and that is be obedient and be baptized. And so what we're doing today is identifying with the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and being buried in water, being raised up out of the water, identifying once again with the three most important things that happen, the death, burial, resurrection. And some of you are thinking right now about baptism day. You're like, good luck, Freeman. You're going to get in the water by yourself because I'm not going in. And you got all these reasons why you shouldn't do it today. You're thinking, well, I didn't bring anything to wear. I mean, I don't have anything to wear while I'm in the baptistry getting baptized. That's why we have these cool shirts. You can actually have one of these shirts. We're going to give it to you. Everybody go, ooh, all right. This could be yours, okay? So we got all sizes back there. You go, well, I didn't bring anything to wear. I didn't bring any shorts to wear. We got tons of shorts in the back, all sizes. Some of you are going, what about my stuff? I've got my wallet. I've got my jewelry. I got my purse. I've got my iPhone. I got my lesser than Samsung phone. I mean, I got. What's going to happen back there? You know, with that, we have a background check. Volunteers, your stuff is going to be safe for back there, and it will be all week long. I promise you that. Some of you are like, well, what about my kids? My kids are in RCC Kids Ministry right now, and I talked to our RCC Kids staff, and they told me you could pick up your kids next month if you want to. So hey. Praise the Lord. You get baptized, there you go, all right? And your kids may be with you, all right? You can bring them back there and they can watch mom or dad get baptized. I'm going to tell you, what could be cooler than that, to see your mom or dad get baptized? Nothing. Nothing's cooler than that. Some of you are going, well, I don't have any friends or family here today, and I want them to be here. Now, this is really personal. This topic is really personal to me because when I got baptized, I didn't know hardly anybody there. But when the Spirit convicts you, it's between you and the Lord. You know, this is a decision you have based, not based on your family or friends. This is a decision based on Jesus. There was a girl that came today from Keystone Heights, showed up from Keystone Heights today, this morning, and her boyfriend was going to get baptized, but he couldn't make it. So she showed up. Guess what happened? She got baptized before he did. Isn't that awesome today? Because she knows it's not going to be that one day. She's not going to be standing before her boyfriend, her family and friends. One day she'll be standing before Jesus Christ. This is between her and Jesus, between you and Jesus Christ. So my goal is really simple. I want to paint such a compelling picture of amazing grace today. Grace, what it looks like. Many of you, so you'll acknowledge it and that you need it and you'll receive it. And you'll follow Jesus because of it, and you'll get baptized today, even though that might have been the last thing on your mind when you woke up this morning, like many people already this morning. Now, when we use the word gracious, we kind of throw it around like that person's kind, that person's, you know, compassionate or mindful, thoughtful. But I want to tell you a story about kind of really, I think, emphasizes what graciousness feels like and means to God. It's found in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus tells his parable starting in verse 1. And here's what he talks about. He talks about a boss who's very gracious with his money and the payroll. Wouldn't you love to have a boss like that who's just very gracious with the payroll? So one day he's out there and he's looking for workers. And he shows up and let's just kind of move this around. It is 6 a.m. in the morning. And he sees some guys standing there at the corner. And he asks these guys at 6, he says, hey, would you guys want to work? They said, yes, we would love to be able to provide for our families, give our families something to eat. And so they agreed upon a wage, and they started working at 6. Well, he shows up 3 hours later. He shows the same place. Guess what he finds? More workers looking for work. Would you guys want to work, he says, at 9 o'clock in the morning? They said, absolutely. So he agrees and to pay them, and then they start working at 9, and then he gets there at noon. Same place. There's another group of people looking to work at noon. He hires them, and then at 3 o'clock, same thing. All of a sudden, there's more workers. And now they're going to work 3 hours. But then the story takes a really crazy twist when at 5 p.m., he goes out there, and he sees people who are looking to work. There's only 1 hour left in the day. And he goes up to him. He says, hey, guys, you're looking for work or you want to work? They said, yeah, we'd like to do something for our families today. So at 5 p.m., even though there's only 1 hour left, he puts in the work. Well, now it's time to pay everybody. End of the day is 6 p.m. And he starts paying them. He starts off with the 5 p.m. people. Then he starts off paying. He gives them a full day's wage, by the way, at 5 p.m. He gives the 3 p.m. a full day's wage. He gives the 12 p.m. people, the noon people, a full day's wage. He gives the 9 a.m. a full day's wage. And then all of a sudden, things get kind of hairy when at 6 a.m. he gets those guys who've worked for 12 hours. He pays them a full day's pay. And then they start going ballistic. They freak out. They go, "We can't believe it. We endured the morning chill at 6 a.m. all the way. And all of a sudden, when the sun was beating our heads at noon, we were still working all the way through the afternoon. And even these three stooges show up at 5 p.m. and they're getting paid the same amount that we're getting paid. That's not fair." And the boss looks at him and says, wait a minute. Didn't we agree that you'd work a full day?" And they said, "Yeah." "Okay, well, didn't we agree upon the pay?" "Yes." "Yeah, we agreed upon the pay." And then he looks at him, he says, "You know, you and I don't have a problem. You don't have a problem with what I paid you. You have a problem with what I paid them. And I admit, it's a little crazy and it's a little unexpected. But when I saw their needs, I had to respond. When I saw them at 9 a.m. sitting there looking for work, and at noon and at 3 and even at 5 p.m., my heart went out to them and I had to do something unexpected, something crazy. And I gave them what they did not deserve. It's called grace. It's called amazing grace. And I wasn't just unjust. I wasn't being unjust to you. I was being gracious actually to them." Let me give you three words, kind of define these three words so you kind of understand what this means. Justice. What's justice? Justice is getting what you deserve, right? That's what justice is. Mercy, though, is not getting what we deserve. That's mercy. But I want you to notice the difference in grace. Grace is opposite than mercy. It's not about not getting. It's actually getting. Getting what we don't deserve. Let me kind of illustrate it this way for you. Say after service, you go out to your car, all right? You guys at home, you're at home and you see me in your driveway, you see me out in the parking lot after service right by your car, and all of a sudden you're kind of like, "Why is the pastor right by my car?" And all of a sudden you see me have some keys in my hand, and all of a sudden you see me keying your car. Like on the driver's side door, I just scrape that. Now this is hypothetical. I don't normally do this, maybe once or twice, but anyway, you see me keying your car, and I look at you, you look at me, and I'm like, "I'm so sorry." I start apologizing profusely. You got three options. Justice, you call the cops. I make restitution for damaging your vehicle. Or mercy, you know, which I would hope you give me, you know, which is not giving me what I deserve. Or grace. I want you to hear what grace sounds like. Grace is this. You come to me, you say, "Nathan, I can tell you're sorry. And what I want to do is I want to give you the car. I'm going to give you this car. In fact, before I give you the keys, I'm going to drive it down to the gas station, fill it up with gas. And then if you want that scratch that you made in that car fixed, you take it to the local paint shop and send me the bill. I'll pay for it." That's amazing grace. Amen. That's grace that you don't deserve. I don't deserve. So here's what we're talking about today. Amazing Grace does crazy things and gives people triple bonuses when they waltz into work with only 1 hour left. And when you truly start to understand Amazing Grace, understand the magnitude of Amazing Grace and what God has done for you through Jesus, it prompts you to do some crazy, unexpected things. I mean, when you truly understand Amazing Grace, one of the things it should do is lead you to admit your need for Amazing Grace. But a lot of us don't. We just go, "You know what? I'm a good person. You know, I haven't kicked an old person recently. You know, I haven't tripped anybody. I haven't, like, run over anybody. I'm a nice person. I'm a kind person." Well, let's kind of look at what I call the goodness ladder, okay? Let's go over here to the goodness ladder, and let's think about this for just a moment. Since obviously you think you're so wonderful, who's like the perfect person, like the perfect being? Who is that? God, right? So we're going to put God all the way at the top, all right? And I haven't fallen off this yet, so let's just keep this going, all right? So we're going to put this all the way at the top because God is perfect. And y'all look really small from up here. Anyway, so God's perfect, right? He's sinless. He's holy. So he's all the way at the top. All right, that's God. Now let me ask you, put some bookmarks out there. Who's like someone who is totally evil the last 100 years? Like when you think about evil, who's like the worst person you can think of? Who's that? All right, somebody's already said it. Hitler. All right. So where's Hitler at? We're going to put him at the bottom. That's where we're going to put, so God's all the way at the top. And then Hitler's here at the bottom on our goodness ladder. Now, let's try to think about, like, who's somebody who's just done incredible things for God in the last 100 years, led a whole bunch of people to Jesus Christ. I mean, lived a life of, like, no scandal at all. Who comes to mind? Anybody come to mind who's done great things for God? Billy Graham, you guys are on it, man. Look at you guys. Y'all are great, all right? So, you know, Billy Graham is a pretty amazing guy. And so I'm thinking we're going to go all the way. But you know what? Just hit me. I actually know some people that knew Billy Graham, and they told me that Billy realized he needed grace. He realized he needed help to get to God because he knew his good deeds were not going to cut it. And so we're going to put Billy probably right around here. So let's think of this last person I want to talk about, and that last person is you. Where are you at on the goodness ladder? Now, most of us who are reasonable are probably going to put ourselves north of Hitler and south of Billy, right? So I don't know anybody like a Billy Graham. I'm just going to be honest with you. So let's just put us right around here. I'm going to be honest with you. This is a problem. This is a problem. Because you're nowhere close to God on your goodness ladder. And so we need some help. And so we have to understand what's going on here. And that is we all need amazing grace. Billy Graham said that he had to admit that he had fallen short of God's glory on his own. He can't preach enough sermons to get to heaven. He can't do enough good things to get to heaven. He needed grace, the grace that came through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Billy Graham needs help to span that distance between himself and God. And guess what? You do too. You can't do enough good things to get to God on your own. So Jesus paid that price for you. And when you understand grace and you understand your need without grace, because here's what it looks like without grace. Scripture says this. It says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. That's justice. That's getting what you and I deserve. Here's what we deserve. Every time that we get envious, every time that we lie, every time that we steal, every time we cheat in school, every time that we lash out in anger, every time that we lust, we sin against, guess who? God. And something has to pay the price to spend that distance between you and God, because the wages of sin is what? Death. But then thank God the verse isn't over. Look what it says next. But the what, church? The what? Gift. That's grace. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You see, just like the story that Jesus told about the landowner who paid the full day's wages, even though they didn't work a full day's wages, out of his own pocket, God has done the same thing for you and me, giving us what we don't deserve through Jesus. Just like the landowner, out of his own pocket, even though he didn't get a full day's wage, it cost God, think about what it cost God. It cost God the life of his one and only son. So that you could be saved, so that something could span the distance between you and God. And what bridges that distance between you and God is the grace of Jesus Christ, amen? So whether you think you have 12 hours of goodness, okay, that's just because you're such a sweet person and such a good person, or you are 9 hours of goodness, or six, or three, or maybe like me, you're like 1 hour of goodness, okay? All right? No matter where you're at on this scale of the goodness scale, we all need grace, amen? Every single one of us needs grace. And so where are you? With a fresh awareness of God's amazing grace, that ought to prompt you to do something unexpected. That ought to prompt you to do something crazy. Now, I want to talk to some of you because right now many of you are going, Nathan, this is great. People need to be saved. I'm a saved person. I've accepted Jesus' grace. So now I'm actually with God now because of the salvation through Jesus, not because of what I've done, because of what Jesus has done. I'm so glad you're doing this, Nathan. Keep it going. So my question to you saved people here in the room and you guys online, and here it is. Are you taking anybody with you? Do you care enough that there's people who have yet to experience God's amazing grace? Raise your hand if you realize and notice this guy right here named Penn, a Penn and Teller. Raise your hand if you know Penn, all right? Penn is an illusionist. He's an atheist. And he says he cannot respect people who believe in heaven and who believe in hell, but they don't try to win people to Jesus. They don't try to evangelize. You're like, that's kind of a weird thing to say if you're an atheist. And here's why he believes that. Look what he says. How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? So here's a real simple way to figure out if you have a heart for lost people. Check out your prayer life. Number one, are you only praying for sick people, or do you pray for anyone who's far from God? Number two, check out who's your schedule. Like, who do you hang out with? Do you hang out with people who aren't Christians ever? I mean, Jesus did. Jesus spent time with people, and then he got accused of being a drunk and a glutton, not because he was, but because they were. They were notorious sinners, and he knew they needed to experience amazing grace. So followers of Jesus, I hope that you'll experience this one day. I hope that you'll experience when you look down one of these rows right here in this room, and you see someone that you've been praying for, and then you invited, and guess what happened? They came. And you're sitting there, sitting next to him, an invitation came, and all of a sudden when the invitation happens, you say, come on, Nathan, don't blow it. I told them you'd actually be good today. Come on. Because you know what's at stake. And family, when you experience that in your life, it'll change you, it'll ignite you. It will do something that will never go out. You watch them accept Jesus. You watch them follow Jesus into the waters of baptism. You watch that person you invite go to life group and open up God's word for the very first time. You watch them pray out loud. You watch them continue to grow in Christ, and it'll revolutionize your faith. If you've never experienced that as a follower to Jesus, you owe it to yourself at least once in your life to make that kind of investment into somebody else's life. I know some of you have closed business deals. You had great vacations. You come back, you love to tell the stories about that. But when you watch someone come to Christ and you were a big part of that transformation, every time you tell that story, you're going to get emotional. When you watch them come out of the water, you get emotional every time you remember that moment for the rest of your life. So followers of Jesus, here's your assignment. I want you to take the Take Four card. This Take Four, you should have gotten this, all right? If you did not receive this, raise your hand and someone will bring it to you. I promise you. Just keep your hand up. We got people right here. They need it. So keep your hand up. I promise you. Someone will find you and bring it to you, okay? This Take Four card, we're going to do a series next called Anxious About Nothing. It's going to last for 4 weeks. What if you, over the next 4 weeks, agree to pray for four different people? Next week, for the next 4 weeks, pray for four different people to come to Christ that are not saved. And go ahead and write their names right now on that list, all right? So that's your Take Four. Who are the four people over the next 4 weeks you want to commit to praying for to come to Jesus Christ? And not just praying for them, but get this, actually invite them. We want to partner with you. We want to partner with you, hence why this next series can be so massive, because who doesn't struggle with worry? Right? So this is an easy ask. Go ahead and write their names down. Commit to praying for them over the next 4 weeks and then invite them. You know, when you pray for someone, man, you're conscientious of what's at stake and you actually treat them different. And you ask, well, how long will the prayers work? Like, how long until I see actually fruition and fruit of that prayer? Well, I don't know. It could be 3 days, could be 3 years, could be 13 years before you see a change. But God's time is going to be perfect. You go, okay, what should I pray? I wrote this prayer down to kind of share it with you. It's in your bulletin too. Here's an option. You could pray this. In fact, I'm going to pray it right now. God, help me to love these people right here the way that you do. Give me your heart for them God, please draw this person, these people, to yourself. Soften their heart and reveal yourself to them. Family, the amazing grace of Jesus prompts you to do some unexpected things like share it. Share it. So that's your assignment if you're saved. Now, amazing grace prompts you to respond in amazing ways. Some of you have never responded to this amazing grace. And my question to you right now is, why? Why? Because you're like, you know, here on the ladder, and you think this is going to be good enough because, you know, you haven't kicked a puppy in a while, you know? You're nice to people, you're a good spouse, and you're a decent parent. But here's, once again, Billy Graham knew that he had a problem. He knew that he couldn't do enough good things to get to God. He knew he needed amazing grace. Then there's others of us, if we're honest, we feel like we're down here, like, there's no way God's grace could get me. Like, I'm not here, Freeman, I'm actually down here. And we don't think God's grace can get to us. Or maybe we're like the people who actually came at 5 p.m. Like, that's how we feel. Like, I've spent most of my life rebelling from God. There's no way he can receive me now. Listen to what I'm about to say. You don't think God's wide enough. You don't think God's grace is big enough. But here's the truth. You're wrong. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection proves that you're wrong. You say, well, Nathan, I've committed adultery, okay? Ask God for forgiveness and talk to David. That was his story. You go, Nathan, I used to be a prostitute, okay? Ask for forgiveness. Talk to Rahab, and God still used her. Well, Nathan, I've committed murder in my life, okay? Ask for forgiveness. Talk to Moses. That was his story. Well, Nathan, I had a child out of wedlock. Well, guess what? Ask for forgiveness. Talk to Abraham, the father of our faith. That's his story. Well, I've denied Jesus a good part of my life, okay? Talk to Peter, ask for forgiveness, because Peter had the same experience and God still forgave him. In fact, God used him to preach a sermon on Acts chapter 2. And he's preaching a sermon and people, it just hits them that no matter how many good things they've done, they're nowhere close to God because of their sin. And so they ask Peter while he's preaching a sermon, they go, Peter, what must we do to get from here to there? They actually ask in a different way. They say, Peter, here's what they say in Acts 2. What shall we do to be saved? They believe. They got the faith. They're convicted. But I want you to notice what Peter says and answers, how he answers the question. Read the highlighted words with me. The first word, read it with me. Repent. That means change. Change your life. Follow Jesus instead of yourself. And be what? Be baptized. Every single one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Guess what happened? When they heard that message, 3,000 people spontaneously, unprepared, unplanned, got baptized, immersed in the water that very day because the amazing grace of Jesus prompts you to do some crazy, amazing things. So I want to ask every one of you in this room, I want every one of you, if you haven't said yes to Jesus, say yes to Jesus today, to experience this amazing grace. I want to invite you to express that obedience and being baptized, immersed in water. As I said earlier, we have everything ready for you. And I want to invite you to watch this video of this couple that came to a Sunday just like today. Didn't expect to get baptized. They just showed up. And all of a sudden, God started moving their life on that baptism Sunday. And God started stirring. And they made a decision while they were sitting in service to be baptized. Right here at RCC, it's a video for you if you weren't planning on getting baptized today. It's a video for you if you're wondering if God's power can actually change your life. It's a video for you if right now God is stirring in you to make this decision. I hope that you're inspired by this video. Check it out.
Hi, I'm Matt Woodall. And before coming to RCC, you know, I was still a believer. However, I was not as deeply rooted in my faith as I should have been. And since coming here, I mean, I can say that my faith has been tested, and I'm stronger now because of that. We found out about RCC through one of our neighbors. We had just moved here from California, and being a military family, we didn't really know anyone. And our neighbor invited me specifically to a men's outing, And this is where I got to know and meet a bunch of the members of RCC. And, you know, it really took me back to my childhood. I really just, I felt the love. I felt the love of the people around me, you know, in that outing. And I really wanted to come to the church and find out more about it. And that's really what drove me to come check it out. So during that baptism Sunday, I actually forgot that we were, you know, it was even happening. When the call came to announce baptisms and people to come forward, I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to call me to stand up. And so, you know, I just felt like this sense of almost if I didn't do it now, then I was never going to do it. And so I took that first step and I stood up and, you know, I just, everything kind of just went out of focus for a moment. And, you know, I knew that I'd made the right decision. All right. So after we stood up, and you know, the moment kind of, shifted to us being called to the back, and now, you know, we come back here and there's a lot of other people. You realize how many people actually stood up in the room with you, and so it's great to see that and feel that reassurance that, you know, you're obviously not alone in this. And you know, the baptism team was cheering us on, and you know, we were waiting our turn to get it baptized. And when that moment came, you know, we finally walked down into the, you know, to the water, and, you know, it's just so surreal being there in that moment and saying the prayer and just being taken under and brought back up, you know. And you knew in that moment a lot of things are going to change, right, for the better.
Hi, I'm Kelly Woodall, and before we came to RCC, spiritually we felt like we really needed to get back involved in a church. I had lost sight of who my first love was in Christ. I was seeking my career, my college education, everything that just needed to be done with the family. And when we moved to Florida, it was just an awakening experience. We had a neighbor. It was like Jesus was speaking to us, came and knocked on our door and invited Matt to RCC. And then he went and checked it out by himself to see if it was okay for our family to come. And then we decided that it was great, and we all came as a family, and we were welcomed to RCC just as if we had been coming here the whole time. So on our first baptism Sunday, it was September 2020, and Matt and I had talked about being baptized and making that recommitment to Christ many times, but we'd never talked about it, that it was going to happen that day. And then when that call happened for everybody to stand up, it's just like the Holy Spirit completely convicted me, and I saw him stand up, and we were holding hands, and we just stood up together. So I can't really explain what the feeling was other than the Holy Spirit just taking control of us in that moment. When I got baptized, I was a little bit nervous. We just really weren't prepared. But as soon as those doors opened, everybody was cheering us on. It was like a giant party in the back, just celebrating with us. They gave us shorts and shirts, and the water was warm, and there was just really nothing to worry about. I don't feel like it was really any different other than I could feel God smiling down on us, making that obedient step in the right direction to recommitting our life to Him.
Can we give God the praise, church? Some of you know what's happening. There's a pounding right now in your chest, and I want you to know that's not bad pizza from last night. That's the Lord stirring inside of you, the Holy Spirit right now prompting you that you need to be baptized. You need to respond to the grace, amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Just like when Peter gave that message, people spontaneously just stood up and they heard the message and they were baptized that very day. Some of you, though, you've got reasons in your head right now why you can't do this, but I want you to stop and listen to God. You'll never ever regret listening and following God. And I was thinking, in honor of God who gives us crazy, unexpected grace, we could do something crazy and unexpected today. What if people just rose in honor of the one who rose for them? What if people just stood up? Not yet. I want to give you time to build your courage up, but I'm going to count to three. And you, if you're making that decision today, get baptized, whether you planned it or it's spontaneous, you just stand up and I count to three. Some of you grew up in a Christian home and it wasn't really your faith, right? But now you can make it your faith. You need the transformational work of Jesus Christ, and you can have that if you receive the grace of Jesus. Some of you say, well, I was baptized when I was little. Somebody else made that decision for me. And I just want to say, you know, I kind of think it's cool that people loved you and loved God, that they wanted you together. But you're wondering right now if you get baptized, if that'll dishonor your family. I want you to know it's not going to dishonor them. It actually completes it. Because you're saying, I'm going to do what they prayed I would do, and I'm going to give my life to Jesus. So we're going to count to three for those who want to make that decision to be baptized today and honor the one who hung on the cross for you and honor the one who died for you on the cross and paid that price and honor the one who rose out of the grave for you. I'm going to count to three and you just stand. So on the count of three, if you know God is calling you to get baptized today, you just respond. You ready? Here's your opportunity. Respond to the amazing grace of God. Ready? Here we go. One, and honor Jesus. Two, do something crazy and unexpected. Three, won't you stand right now? Go ahead and stand. If you're making that decision to be baptized in Jesus Christ, you just stand right now where you're at. It's not too late. You can still stand right now. If you know today's the day you're going to get baptized, praise the Lord. Stay standing. So what we're going to do right now, and you guys online, if you want this to happen for you, you can come down and meet us at this next service, all right? So you just come on down. But right now, we're going to do the confession of faith. So if you're standing, or if you're a believer, or maybe you're saying this for the first time, you're like, I believe this, and you just go ahead and stand. So let's all say this together on the count of three, this confession of faith. Here we go. One, two, three. I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again on the third day. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Can we give God the praise for that confession of faith right there? Amen. So if you're standing right now, I want you to head over to your left. You guys, head over to your left. You're standing right now, and it's not too late for you to join them. Go ahead and head your way that way, and let's go ahead and just celebrate and cheer our brothers and sisters on as they get baptized today. We're so proud of you. All heaven is rejoicing for your decision today. Praise the Lord. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Everybody else, please stand. Everyone else, please stand. And we're going to worship our incredible God who gives us this unexpected grace. Amen. Let's just give him glory. Let's give him praise. Let's worship him right now. Can you give God the praise right now? He deserves it, church. Give him praise right now.